This is an ABC podcast.
Warning, strong language alert.
Attention, please. This is the final call.
Welcome to Burn Your Passport. I'm Nazim Hussain, and I think travel is done best when you have nothing and no one. Except for my guest in this episode. Last episode, we spoke about babies. This episode, we're speaking about parents. Australian actor Cat Stewart is going to tell us exactly what to do with old people. Basically, you put them in a boat and you push them out to sea. Her words, not mine. Not really her words, but... Boy, you love cruises.
Well, I think I do. Mm. You know, there are a lot of people with oxygen tanks.
But first, US comedian Kyle Kinane, who knows that when you're living with your parents, travel is the last thing you need, no matter how old you are.
Passengers are reminded to burn your passport.
Nazim Hussain is my name. I'm here with Kyle Kinane. How's it going, bro?
What's happening?
Oh, man. This is a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
You're about to head back to the States. You've got a few more days in Australia.
Yeah, I'm going to bounce up to Sydney for a couple shows, yep. And then Brisbane, and then back to Los Angeles.
Can I ask, do they teach you how to say our cities correctly before you get here?
You know what? I try to be decent enough to listen.
Really?
And I'm going to stick out and screw up every other cultural thing. Yeah. Let me at least get the pronunciation.
Get the
right
cities
way.
Right, then people just think you love us.
Brisbane, Melbourne.
We just want to be validated by Americans. I think that's what it is.
Why?
When Americans come, because you guys, you know, you're the cultural empire of you know, we take cultural direction from you guys.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, it's too late. We're already in line.
You think so? I walk around and like there's a level of like fashion. I think the term hipster's played out, and I don't like to use it as a negative term anymore. But like to look around, there's some outfits where I'm like, oh, wow. That's like you're kind of a stuffed animal, but it's also a bit tribal. Yeah. And I just can't put my finger on, like, it's this kind of like, I'm just going to wear all of it.
You're in LA right now. Which is kind of where, I guess, hipster stuff sort of started there. We just took it and ran.
New York. Yeah. Well, it is kind of like the morphed, you know, Hulkified version of it. Which, and I, you know, I'm not going to sit here and make fun of it because I'm 41.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not supposed to understand what a 20-year-old's doing. Like, I can't believe they're wearing pants like this and doing this. There. Yeah, well, I was doing that when I was 20. Did everybody forget when they were 20 years old and an idiot?
What was it that you did at 20? What would have been annoying hipster culture in your day?
Well, I don't know if hipster was it, but I'm covered in stupid tattoos.
Oh, really?
And when I still had hair, I had a very ill-fated rockabilly phase.
Uh-huh. You got a shitload of hair on your face.
Yeah, well, that's because it fell out of the top, but I got to overcompensate. I got no chin. I get a little upset. I think the beard's out now. Nobody does beards much. Like there are some holdovers.
Yeah.
But it came and like there was like handsome guys with beards. I'm like, you're handsome. You don't need this. I either have no chin or I got three chins under.
What do you mean
here?
You got no chin? Where?
Look, watch it.
Oh, shit, you got no chin.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Wow.
See where my face
now
stops?
I get the beard.
My face stops right below my bottom teeth.
It's just your lips and then beard.
It's my lip, but it goes straight back to my neck.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
That's like a wig for chins. That's just covering.
It's exactly what it's a push-up bra for my face. I shaved for a TV role, which I was also nude in, and people were more horrified that they saw my face than my ass.
Do they say, sorry, we need someone with a chin?
They were like, no, you're going to act, and you're going to shave for the role? Because I don't do acting a lot.
Yeah.
And like, no, you're going to shave. Mm. And I'm like, are you sure? And I shaved, and then people saw it, and they're like, don't ever shave again. Please don't ever. Like, that's my face. Yeah. They're talking about my face.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, please don't ever show us
who
face.
You really are.
The literal phrase, don't show your face around here again, I got from so many strangers. Online.
That's you've been body shamed in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God bless the internet.
Well, so
and
you
opinions from strangers.
Oh, so the man, get off the dang. Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago originally.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Midwest.
That's one of the top five big cities or something?
Yeah, I don't know if we're floating around it's usually number three. Unless something else has changed that I don't know about with San Francisco or Seattle or something. But yeah, it's a pretty big city.
Big city boy.
Yeah, well, I grew up in the suburbs.
Oh, yeah?
Everybody called me like, oh, you're from Chicago. And it's like, I've lived with my parents till I was 26.
28 for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Where, here in
Melbourne. Yeah,
in Melbourne?
Melbourne.
28, huh?
28, bro.
Oh, I don't feel so bad now.
Nah, don't feel bad. I mean, but it's sort of like a cultural thing for us. I was supposed to stay there till I got married.
Yeah, me too. It was totally cultural.
Totally cultural. Yeah, the culture of poverty.
Cultural for being a total bum with no ambition. That was my culture.
How'd you finally move out? Was there a moment where you just said, I gotta get out?
I started doing comedy, and I was like, well, if I'm going to move out, I'll either move, 20 miles into Chicago.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that was my mom. My mom would always be like, what are you going to move into the city? You live for free here. You're going to go pay rent? I'm like, oh, you got me again, mom.
So she loved you at home.
Yeah, but I didn't love being there. It's like, hey, you're in your 20s. You're trying to get laid. You're trying to have fun. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you want to come back to my house? Just be quiet because my mom's in the next room.
Did you have a good bedroom at least? Was it close to the kitchen?
No, I didn't at all. Everything, like you have you gone back to your childhood home? Like, they still live in that house?
Yeah.
When you go back there and you realize how small the house was, oh, they heard everything. They heard everything I was doing to my body.
And
they
know where everything is as well.
Yeah.
They heard everything you were doing to your body.
Every sound that I was making did not go unnoticed. I'm totally stealth. They don't know what I'm learning about myself. Oh, no, they knew every single time. And we're probably so close to just locking me up in a hospital.
Oh, gross. Like, yeah, they still wanted you around. They probably thought they were a good influence on you, and then maybe you just outgrow that behavior.
I didn't. Especially because I'm still living at home, so I wasn't going out and getting laid, so I still have to come home and abuse my body.
So did you ever bring anyone home?
No. But there's a couple times you try it where you're like, maybe we'll just, and I can't, I don't operate well under stressful situations that.
No, it's too awkward.
Yeah, so I was like, nah. So 26, I was like, you know what? If I'm gonna move, if I'm gonna try and do comedy, you got to move to New York or LA. I'll go to LA. I didn't even visit first. I'm like, I'm just gonna move. I just packed up my car and moved to Los Angeles.
So you just drove to Los Angeles?
Drove to Los Angeles.
When was this? What year?
2003.
So there was no Airbnb back then.
No. I had a friend who I was a guy who told me I could live at his place for 2 weeks. And then he kicked me out after a week. I was a terrible person.
How did he kick you out?
Because I would smoke in the apartment. I was like, I'll just smoke in the bathroom and blow it in the vent. He's like, don't smoke in here. I'm like, I'll just smoke in the bathroom. And I was a terrible person.
So what?
Because I never knew. My parents thought I was 26. I didn't know what it was like to have roommates and actual friends telling you.
People that don't love you unconditionally.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. People that don't love you.
People that don't want to hear what you're doing to your body.
Yeah, I think he was like a Christian guy too. I'm like, let me use your laptop. And then I didn't know how to clear it. I didn't know how to clear a search history.
Oh.
And he's like, yeah, you got to go. I was like, all right.
Damn. Wait, so he just basically said, you've been smoking in the vents and you've been looking at ungodly things on my laptop.
Well, no, he was, because he was such a nice guy, he was like, oh, my other roommate.
Oh, so he palmed it off.
I'm like, oh, I thought I had this for 2 weeks. He's like, no, actually, the guy's coming back sooner than he thought, so it's only going to be a week. And I was like, oh.
So what'd you do?
I found a guy who was okay with what I looked at on his laptop. And
were you up front with him?
In the house, yeah. He's like, yeah, you can sleep over here. It's the same couch my dog uses. I'm like, I love dogs. All right.
Oh, that's a real comedy. Yeah. That's how you start.
It's one of those. And I was just there for a little while, and then I finally got an apartment with him. I was waiting for my other friend.
Yeah.
Like, he was getting there too, so then we're going to find a place. So I found a permanent setting. And
right. Now you're living it up, traveling around the world. Are you a good traveler?
You know what? I always fancied myself and that I was like, I got international stuff down. Yeah. And then I was in China in February, and I almost lost my passport twice. I was a mess.
Where'd you go?
I was in Hangzhou, I think.
Oh, yeah?
And I packed some big duffel bag, forgetting I was going to be on trains and planes every day doing this tour. So I'm, like, dragging it through a train station in, the most populated place on Earth. And all of a sudden, somebody at the security is just yelling out what I found out later was the word foreigner. In Chinese.
Well, they're just warning everyone.
They're just yelling. Yeah, but they're holding my passport.
I don't know.
So I'm just walking away. Fortunately, the people I was with understood. They're like, and they're hearing the word foreigner, so they're thinking, is it us? And then they're like, no, of course it's Kyle. And then they look back and they're like, your passport's over there.
We might have done the same tour. Did you go to Chengdu, Hangzhou, Beijing, Shanghai?
Yeah.
With Andy?
Andy, yeah, like Kung Fu Comedy.
I did the same. Yeah. That was, did you do the Chengdu gig at a bookshop?
I did do that one, yeah.
Did you get told that they don't really speak English before you got on stage?
Was that the one? No, I had... I got lucky with my shows that they were mostly primarily English speaking.
Okay, cool. You're lucky.
But I used to do a show at a youth hostel in Los Angeles, which is where, and just God bless Australians for making Americans look good when we travel. You're the only group of people that show up and are noisier and more drunk than Americans.
We try really hard.
So I got a heartfelt thanks of when you get somebody like, oh, at least you're not the bloody Australians, I'll tell you.
We walk
make around, us look classy when we travel.
Yeah, there's like a very popular T-shirt that some Australians wear overseas, which says Australian Drinking Team on the T-shirt.
Yeah. Well, they would show up at this hostel, and you're always like, there's Australians. You're like, all right, it's going to be rowdy, but it's going to be fun. But then because it's a hostel, sometimes you just get 10 Japanese people just sitting in the front, just staring. Not rude. I mean, they're not being...
Just being polite.
Yeah, they're not, but they don't know what they're seeing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so for them to view, like, I can only imagine going to see let's see a performance. Because you think performance,
you just watch.
There'll be some movement, and maybe it'll be juggling or dancing. And to imagine going
costumes.
To see, in a different language, which is someone talking for a long time.
But he has no chin.
But my face, the hair on my face, I'm supposed to be wise, right? Isn't that how it works?
That's in Paris, the same thing. I did a show there, and every joke... Or maybe the jokes were just shit, but the Australians, every time I do it, the Australians would laugh, and then I was like, this is the worst gig of my life. And then at the end, they all applauded, and some people stood up, and I was told later that they treat it like a performance, like it's just like a theater thing.
Yeah, it was just an experience. Well, I've had that where they just hated me because I was opening for a band, and we were traveling.
Where was this?
We were traveling through northeastern United States, but then went into Canada, and we went to Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas, like, I have some crossover fan base with this band, but then we got to Montreal and it's French speaking, and so I've played the festival in Montreal, but people know they're coming to an English speaking show.
Yeah.
But music, anybody can come see music and enjoy it without understanding the lyrics necessarily. So I go up in front of everybody that just speaks French, and they're at a punk rock concert, and then they're just staring at me like, "What?
Stop, guy.
Where's his guitar? Is this it? He just talks and." The idea just didn't I'm just talking, and when you just hear your four friends in a band laugh and you know the laughter when it's like far away makes it even more insulting because you can tell the distance, you hear it coming from a green room behind a couple doors, and they're delighted at how bad it's going for you. And then some French woman had enough, and I'm assuming in French just said, this is bullshit. And then just got up and sat on the stage and smoked a cigarette next to me. The most Montreal French thing you could do is smoke at me in disgust. She smoked a cigarette at me.
Did she blow a smoke in your face?
Not that, but just like next to me with this look of like, we're very bored, aren't we?
I can't just sit here looking at you talk. Yeah. I need to relieve some stress with a cigarette.
Let me embody the whole audience's mood.
Let's try and die faster.
Yeah, by bottling up this ennui. And sitting next to you on stage smoking a hand-rolled cigarette like,
is that your worst gig?
No.
Really?
Worst
there is a rockier bottom.
Oh, I got... We'll do college gigs in the States.
Oh, yeah, that's a big business, isn't it?
It is. I don't do well at them.
Why is that?
Once in a while. Because I don't know what 18-year-olds want to hear. I don't talk about stuff that some hopeful 18-year-old... I go up there and I'm like... You're wasting your money. You don't know what you want to be when you're 18. And I'm like, so tell me how much money this is a year. $50,000. $50,000. You know how many places in the world you could see for $50,000? And then you can come back with a more informed idea about how the world works.
And you can give like half that away and save $10,000.
Yeah. And so that's why I don't do well at the college gigs. But I did one where I got there.
Which city was this?
This was a... Washington State. It was Eastern Washington, so kind of rural area. And they're all like, the kids are sitting there. It was like opening weekend. I don't know when your first weekend of college, but they had like bouncy houses and face painting. And I was
the
like,
hell?
This is where you come to learn what you want to be. Like, this is for your life. There's face painting. They're painting your face. I'm watching some guy. He's like, juggling while standing on broken glass, and it's this half full auditorium of just kids on their phones. And I'm like, this guy's
That's one day.
Risking injury with a physical skill. I'm just going to talk. And I went up there and I did so bad that the mascot, like the guy in the, like the, I don't know if it's like a jaguar or a panther costume, came on stage and put a chair behind me and just sat down.
What?
To be like, get off the stage. Like the Sandman from Showtime at the Apollo.
Did you try and save it?
No. Came up and they can't talk when they're in the costumes. So I handed him the microphone and he made this hand gesture like, I can't say anything. I'm like, I know you can't. And I just walked off the stage because they paid me already. So I was like, get the fuck out of here.
Well, that's, that is a freaking horrible. I would hate students after that forever.
Yeah.
I've done Muslim youth camps. That's I came up through the Muslim comedy circuit. I went to a lot of Muslim youth camps. I used to be like, at nights, you know, we'd be learning about religion during the day. Then at nights we'd be, we'd have like infotainment, you know, so it'd be like, you know,
gotta have a message.
all the sketches, all the little act out, all the little songs and everything, they'd all be like some positive message about Islam and the prophets and stuff like that. And so I remember we did this thing called Nazim Live. So I'd go up and do a bit of comedy and then I'd introduce like a psychologist who would talk about the benefits of meditation and then
show.
Yeah, like a talk show, but it was like a real halal friendly, you know. I remember like one of the speakers was late. I started telling jokes about my mom and how she used to come to school and give me lunch, and the other students would be like, ew, that smells weird. I'll imitate my mom. People were losing it. They thought it was hilarious. All the kids are cracking up. Anyway, then the big sheikh comes out, big beard, bigger than yours, and a chin.
And a chin. He had the whole package.
In the middle of me just imitating my mom, going, oh, Nazim, here is your lunch. He comes onto the stage and he says, Nazim, you have insulted your mother behind her back. This is a grave sin. You must now call her up and seek her forgiveness.
Holy shit.
And so in the middle of all this, I had to stop and call my mum on speaker and ask for her forgiveness in front of the whole Muslim camp.
You got heckled by God. God shut down your gig.
Man, I can't, it traumatized me, man. To get back from that, I had to get my mum's permission to continue doing comedy after that.
I find that impressive that you're like, is it one of those things like if you were doing it and it wasn't going well, they wouldn't have said anything, but like, hold on, he's got some influence over these kids, we gotta stop it. Like, I take that as a badge of honor. Like, if it's crummy, nobody cares, but then it was going good. He's like, all right, we can't let him get away
with this. He's gonna take these kids astray.
Yeah, he's got too much influence over him.
Well, it's the same. Well, I've done the, if you're sick of the college circuit, try the Muslim circuit, right? So
let me jump in on that one.
You got the beard already, bro. You just need to just walk around with, is it called kebabs over there?
Yeah, we do shawarma as a kebab. I mean, I got the food part down.
You got the food part down. You just got to just learn the lingo. Say brother and sister a lot. You know,
I'll go back to LA and tell my Hollywood agent. I want to work the Muslim youth circuit. Say,
there's a bit of money in that.
It's had a rough day. It's running all over the place.
Yeah. So how long you reckon you got left in comedy? 50 years. You're gonna do it till you die. Are you gonna be George Carlin?
Some days, yeah. But also, you could die next week. So
that's true.
Maybe that's not my choice. Maybe I had retirement figured out, and then I just died.
Have you got a place that you want to die? Is there like some people say, I want to die?
Well, this is a real meta version of a travel podcast. where it's more of a transcend and travel.
I'm not asking
but,
if you're
you know.
A suicide bomber, by the way. I want to die in the busy streets of none of them.
Listen, I didn't make the joke when you were talking about working the Muslim youth camp circuit. All right? I thought we were going a little higher.
This is the
comedy.
Safest space for that. No, we don't have to answer that question.
I think about how to get out every day.
Yeah?
And then, you know, if you have a bad set, you're like, who am I? I got to quit. Who do I think I am? I'm going to entertain strangers? What an arrogant idea that I should be compensated for something that my best friends did for free and have to have regular jobs. And then you have a good job or somebody gives you a good review. You're like, I'm so glad people understand and recognize my art.
I am an artist and this is a craft.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I'm so glad. Like I got a bad review here and I'm like, they're right. I'm terrible.
Oh,
I quit.
Man.
And then if it's like, somebody's like, I liked your show. I'm like, thank you. You should because I put a lot of effort and I put my soul into this.
Well, that's right. Like, the thing you joke about saying, you know, what we do is essentially profit off a personality trait.
Oh, yeah.
Which actually made me go,
Yeah.
Is this, I'm paying my bills from, like,
yeah.
Does it end?
It's like being a model. You didn't do anything.
Yeah, you just.
We're slightly above models.
Where are you off to next internationally, anyway?
Internationally. I kind of went at it early this year, so I kind of got my passport stamped.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see the Northern Lights, which was a bucket list thing. If anybody comes at me with a show where, like, listen, man, this show's going to be great and it's going to be all paid for, I'm like, I don't trust you.
Mm.
But when somebody says, hey, I know this sounds weird and I don't know if we're going to make money. You'll get your flight in a hotel, but I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. So somebody had a comedy festival in the Yukon. In Whitehorse in Northern Canada, like, I know it sounds strange, but we have a comedy festival in the Yukon. I'm like, I'm there.
Oh, that's sick. That's like peak Instagram. Like, did you get a good photo?
No, I hate Instagram so much. Really? I mock the idea.
What are you on anything? You're on Twitter.
I'm on all this stuff. Yeah. I got one photo of Northern Lights, but it's just darkness with some blur. It's like when somebody has a picture of a ghost. They're like, can you see it? No, nobody can see it.
Hey, thanks so much, Kyle Kinane. Catch you soon.
Every day, a child enjoys his or her family holiday without his or her family. To explain how, here's Anne Rording from Heaven Sent Help on the Gold Coast.
So if you want to enjoy your holiday without your kids for even just a couple hours, don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, you know, you deserve it. My mum, when we used to go on holidays, used to make me take my maths textbooks and things like that and make me do homework. Do you make the kids learn things?
Well, sometimes the parents will give the babysitter that task.
So that's like a pack. So that's one of the packages?
Yeah, well, if they're on holidays for a long time,
yeah.
We can help them with their homework.
Yeah.
It just depends what the parents want us to do.
My mum used to make me learn, like, the year's curriculum 1 year in advance. And so, yeah, and then once you're a year ahead, then it's fine. Then you can. Yeah. Then I was allowed to go out and play and stuff like that. But until we were literally a year ahead, we had a lot of homework to do.
Cat Stewart is one of Australia's best known actors, and that's helped her get many things other Australians would dearly love to have, like time away from her kids.
This is Bernie Passport, I'm Nazim Hussain, and I'm here with Cat Stewart.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in, Cat.
Yeah, pleasure.
How's it going?
Good.
You're a mum of two.
True.
I've become a dad of one.
I know. Very exciting. You look, as I just said when I walked in, you look very fresh.
Really?
Are you getting any sleep?
Everyone keeps saying, I think you were one of the people that said, sleep when the baby sleeps. Did you say that?
I may have.
Yeah,
mate. Yeah, it's the sort of thing I might say. It never worked for me, but I hope it works for you.
Does it not work
for you? Oh, I found it hard during the day when you're doing lots of feeding and stuff when they're really little. It does make sense, but there's always so much to do and visitors and I'm not good at kind of...
But you've travelled with your kids.
Recently, yeah. We went away when my little girl was about 18 months last year, and that was an experience.
I've been told that the best time to travel is when it's still in the blob phase, and 18 months is definitely post-blob.
No, and she's not old enough at that point to watch TV, so you can't, you know, throw an iPad in front of her for more than a couple of minutes. And, yeah, it was excellent. My son was fine. He was five.
Yeah.
But it was diabolical. And some people say Finergan's okay.
Is that the hay fever med?
Yeah, I think so. We didn't... Because she was so little, you're not meant to try it until they're over two, so I couldn't touch that even. And that's problematic anyway, I suppose. But some kids apparently, instead of calming down, just go berserk.
What?
And they can become the exorcist.
Oh,
and just
God.
Not necessarily vomiting, but just being crazy.
running through walls.
Yes. So, but she went nuts. And at the end of the flight, I've never seen such hate in people's eyes. Like some people were kind of quite... A couple of people kind of squeezed my shoulder and said, look, I could see you were working really hard.
Oh, really?
But a couple of people just hated me.
Really?
Because we ruined their flight.
Wait, so from Melbourne to where?
We went to Hawaii.
Oh, so...
So it was terrible. So we had to go through LAX, which is
a
hell in itself.
That is one of the worst experiences of life.
Yeah, and of course we did that classic thing, missed the flight, had to wait for ages, you know, all that stuff. And then went to Vancouver to get the...
Went to Melbourne... LA, Vancouver.
To get on a cruise. We went on a cruise because we thought that'd be a good holiday with little kids.
Yeah.
It was. It was great. I hadn't been on a cruise since I was seven. But it's a whole other culture. It's a whole other thing. There are cruises.
But once you get on a cruise with a kid, you just hand them over. There's people there.
A bit, yeah. You can certainly kind of send them off to the...
You still have to parent them.
But you do. You have to claim them. But But I did get... We got, you know, kind of 2 or 3 hours off every morning, which was really nice.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it was fun.
So basically, best time to travel is pre-18 months.
Yeah. Yep. But we're going to have another crack this year.
What do you get? Well, now she's two.
She's two now.
Yeah. For Nergan?
I don't know. I'm going to have to get some counselling. I don't know.
Well, why don't you keep it up for like 5 days straight? Now. Oh, okay.
So she's just completely out of it, you mean?
Yeah, no, yeah. If you keep it up 5 days, so she just sleeps
for the whole trip.
I don't know anything about.
So it'd be like Weekend at Bernie's, just on my hip.
No. Yeah, just. But do you try? Will you be? Have you considered going up to premium economy or business? Don't know, maybe. And is that bad? Because me and my wife are going away in August, right? Mm. So we've got me, her, and the baby going to Europe.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, we
Europe.
Well,
oh, but she's little.
Little. Yeah. But if we go, say, business, we thought, well, that'll be nice. Maybe we'll spend a bit extra so that she can relax with our son. But then, what is the baby cost? Hasn't everybody paid all this money to be in business, to be away from?
I think the business. I imagine that the business flyers would be more angry than economy flyers if you ruin their flight.
But their anger is more posh.
It's probably so it's more restrained.
Yeah, passive aggressive.
Kind of, yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
So you got to have another crack. Where are you going to go?
Yeah, we're going to go to Japan.
Oh, right. Okay.
Going on another cruise.
What? You love cruises.
Well, I think I do.
Wait, so you're going to Japan to go on a cruise from Japan?
Yeah, so it'll be we're going to go to Tokyo and we're going to go right around Japan.
That's pretty cool.
We're going with my dad and we're going with my brother's family. It's a bit of a Griswold's on water.
So do you do you get to do Japanese things on the cruise?
I think so.
So it's like a Japanese cruise liner.
Yeah, different little spots. It's like 16 days or something.
Oh, that's
15
sick.
Days, yeah.
Is it the same type of people that go on cruises here in Australia? You know, like the stereotype is that...
Look, it is a bit of a cultural kind of thing. Mm. You know, there are a lot of people with oxygen tanks. A lot of old people.
Yeah,
it's true. But then they've got some young people as well. It's kind of good for little people and really old people, I think.
So you've got... you've had a crazy career at the moment. You know, you've basically done, I would think, as a non... I'm a comedian, so I don't really do acting. I've tried to do acting, but it's the most awkward thing for me. But have you basically done everything you've wanted to? Like,
No. There's always more stuff to do.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I don't know what it is. It's kind of... you can't really plan much in this country as an actor. Yeah. You just sort of roll with whatever happens. You need to do stage, you need to do screen or whatever. Yeah. And then I didn't really... My kind of break was Underbelly, and I was in my 30s, so I don't know. I don't know that I did it the traditional way.
Is that when you became like a household name? You kind of did you become real famous in your 30s?
I don't know.
Because you know, they say there's like two types of fame. You know, people that become famous pre-30s or like in the early 20s or even younger, and then later in life when you're kind of a little bit more grounded.
Mm.
And those sorts of famous people are the ones that you should hang around with.
Oh, really? I've never heard that. But I think there's something to be said for. Yeah, kind of having a bit of experience under your belt. I think it would be so hard if you were on, you know, Home and Away at 17 and became a superstar.
Yeah,
you know, like some of those guys. I think it'd be really hard to keep your wits about you. And what if you have, you know, a quiet couple of years after that? I think that'd be really hard.
I know. Oh.
Whereas I'm well versed in quiet times. So, you know, when things are a bit quieter, I know what it means, and I know it kind of comes in ebbs and flows. Yeah. I'm not as flustered.
What do you do when you? Because acting life is mostly just quiet time, isn't it?
It can be kind of. I mean, there's always stuff to fill your life up with, especially when you've got kids.
Got kids, yeah.
But when you're actually in production, it's full on. Like, there's room for nothing else. Really.
Yeah,
you do the really long days, and you kind of disappear. But I kind of like that, that intense kind of push, and then a bit of a break, and another intense push.
Yeah,
that sort of suits me.
Yeah, I mean, have you ever booked a room at a hotel and just gone, and you're just in your own city and just going to have a night away, just to chill, or you have your quiet time at home with your kids and your husband?
I've never done that. Gee, that sounds like heaven.
Yeah, someone told me that recently.
Yeah.
He uses his points, his frequent flyer point, whatever, and he just goes to a hotel and just orders room service and just hangs in the room all day.
Wow.
In his own city, he just takes a bus home or train home, whatever. Yeah,
that's great.
Should try that.
Yeah, the family would kill me.
My manager said this to me. She goes, "Well, look, when you've got your kid, obviously, and this is, I haven't done it. I don't think I will."
Yeah.
But she said, "Oh, you know, it's going to be hectic. And if you want, in your diary, I could put down a gig in Sydney, and you could just go away for a night by yourself." And I was like, you are a horrible person.
But you're on my side.
In the back of my mind, I thought, you never know.
That is amazing. I must say, when I came to do your show in Sydney. I don't know how, but that was such a nice hotel, and that felt like.
How did you sleep in?
Yeah, I slept in. And also we went late, so I couldn't get the last flight home.
Yeah.
So the second night I was there, I had no lines to learn or anything to think about, and it felt just like that. It was just...
Well, that's what scares me about, like, parenting life. I went overseas to LA with a producer. We were doing some we took meetings.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Done some meetings, yeah.
By the way, you go there and you feel like, oh, man, Hollywood is in love with me. Yeah, I'm the next huge thing. And then it's just, you just realise that's Americans. They
say there's no bad meeting, don't they?
There's no bad...
Like, they love you in person, but do...
Yeah. Well, people, I walked in one and the guy was just like, we love your look, we love your style, and I was wearing just jeans and a T-shirt. Everything about you, we love. And then I was like, whoa, you're going to give me, like, I'm going to be the face of this channel, blah, blah, because I sort of said all this, and they never called us again.
Yeah. I've had similar experiences. It's not quite the face of the channel, but thinking, oh, wow, this is gonna go somewhere, and then no one returns your call.
And I think Australians and even Brits, like the producer I went with, he's a British guy, and we went there, and he, so we stayed at this hotel. We woke up early in my books. We woke up at, like, we met for breakfast at 8, and he was like, man, that was the best sleep I've had in 5 years. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I slept 8 full hours. And he hasn't done that since he's had kids, which scared the crap out of me.
There's, but then there are some kids that are amazing. So you never know.
Yeah. My kid's, he's amazing.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for coming on, Kat.
No, pleasure.
So you have any, just before you leave, any tips for travelling with kids?
Okay, you need a
cruise.
Cruises are good because they've got kids' play areas. So even if they don't have, like, a kids' club going, you can kind of, you know, they can hang out in there and run around because cabins are usually not that big.
Yeah.
I would say on the sly, buy some amusements, you know, like those colouring books with the magic textures that, you know, make a mess but are really great, and lots of games and stuff. Just like a pack of small, cheap surprises that's going to keep them amused for a couple of hours.
Uh-huh.
And also load films on the iPad. Go nuts with the iPad.
Peppa Pig. Like, they never get sick of it.
In fact, someone was saying put on classical movies but then intersperse with Peppa Pig so you kind of keep them happy.
What do you mean?
Happy. Like, you're going to download a whole lot of stuff, show them sequences, but break it up with some Peppa Pigs along the way so that they don't kind of get bored and start wanting to hit each other.
If they're watching, like, Peter Rabbit, in the middle of Peter Rabbit.
Throw in a Peppa Pig.
So kids
love
Peppa Pig that much. Even when they're watching a kid's movie, they still need...
I haven't tried this, but apparently it's a winner. God. Apparently it got this woman I met through, like, a, you know, 12-hour flight with a two-year-old.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I'll learn all about this soon.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Kat.
Thanks.
Attention, please. This is the final call.
This has been Burn Your Passport for another episode. Podcasting from the world where a bottle of water costs more than most babysitters make in an entire shift. Though, they do eat all your food. Keep in touch with me. Just Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I've got gigs coming up. So, you know, nazimhussain.com. Or you can just send me an email. If you don't have an email account, use mine. It's mail.com. My password is with capital.
Passengers are reminded to burn your passport.
It's not the password, but it is for a lot of other things. Can you make sure you believe that?